This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Hello out there, and welcome to the Third Age with the Doctor and the Man from Hollywood. The Doctor is me, Dr. Peter Brill, and the Man from Hollywood is David Devon. On this show, we turn the myths of aging upside down. We sort out the scientific from the trendy, the medical and the cultural, and tell you everything you need to know about living in the Third Age with panache and a nice pinch of chutzpah. Did I say that right, David?
No, you have to do the chutzpah, but you're only half Jewish, so you don't have to.
All right. Well, remember, we guarantee if you listen to us, you will never grow old.
I'm David Devon. I'm called the Man from Hollywood. Peter usually says I come out of Hollywood, and that's the key word, out. I am out of Hollywood.
They threw him out.
The third age usually starts somewhere around age 45 or 50. It's a time when you start to feel a strong desire for deeper meaning and fulfillment in your life. Your first age is childhood. Then your second age is building a career and a family. And the third age is a major change or transition to a whole new set of problems, values, opportunities, and, of course, gratifications.
So join us as fellow explorers in this journey to discover what brings passion, purpose, and joy into this uncharted time of life. Let me introduce our guests and bring them into our conversation here. Health and wellness expert Dr. Eric Plasker has written the best-selling book, The 100-Year Lifestyle, which reveals the secrets to making the most of our extended lifespan and living it to the fullest. Visit www.100yearslifestyle.com. We'll give it again in a little bit. For more information about this life-changing book, he's also a licensed chiropractor and the founder of The Family Practice, a chiropractic coaching and training organization geared to building highly successful and profitable family practices. Welcome to the show, Dr. Plasker.
Thank you so much, Dr. Peter and David and Marissa. It's great
to be here.
It's just Peter
for me. It's just Peter.
Oh, Peter, okay.
You can call me Dr. David.
Okay, Dr. David, Peter. Dr. Hollywood. Got a little mixed up there.
So, we enjoyed the book. We love it. Why does anybody want to live to 100, though? It seems like such a strenuous thing to do.
You know, it's funny because when I first got inspired to write this book and I started asking the questions, you know, do you want to live to 100, or if you knew you'd live to be 100, how would you change your life? I was blown away by the answers. I'd had some people would say to me, well, Dr. Plasker, I don't want to live to 100, man. My grandmother's 87. She can't see. She can't feel. My grandfather is 91, and I don't want to be like that. So, you know, and so I had some people that were definitely afraid, scared, didn't even want to think about it. But other people would say to me, you know what, Dr. P, this is great. I definitely want to live to 100. In fact, I want to get to 110 and 120. And I got all these things that I want to do, and I'm going to be healthy. And so a lot of it is perspective. And that's one of the reasons why I wrote the book, to make it a worthwhile goal.
Wow. Is that the difference between people who want to live to be that old and people who don't? Is that they have more to do? Is that it?
You know, not just that they have more to do. I think that one of the things that we found in our research is that people that are living quality, because it's really not about getting to the number. It's not really about the quantity of years. It really should be about a quality of quantity. You know, you want quality years. And so people that have purpose and people that have a vision for their extended life usually live more purpose-filled and more quality lives, because they have a reason to get there and a reason to live.
Exactly what we say, right?
You're preaching our gospel. You're preaching to the choir.
That's great.
So we start singing now, David? No, it's, I mean, one of the things that you have in your book, a questionnaire and that you start. I don't know if you have it in front of you there.
I do.
Okay. Maybe we could ask a few of the questions. Let's start from the top that the listeners could think about.
Very good. Here are some great questions. This is the 100-year lifestyle assessment, and it's right in the beginning of the book. And one of the first questions is, and answer the question, a 1 would be never, a 5 would be always. You know, I am excited about the possibility of living to 100.
Now think about that.
1 to 5?
Yeah, 1 to 5.
Are you excited?
Definitely. I definitely am excited about it. 1 would be, I am not excited about it at all.
Okay, I'm scoring myself on this. Okay,
here's another great question. I am willing to make changes to improve my quality of life as I age.
You know, can we just take a digression for 1 second? You tell the story when you talk about change. There's a doctor who came to your practice, and I forget the whole story, but he basically had a lot of problems, I think, with his back and so forth. And you started talking to him about his lifestyle and what he was doing with his life. And he started arguing with you, right?
Yes. And we talk about that a lot in the 100-year lifestyle because, you know, here we are, we're talking about, are you excited about the possibility of living to 100? And people, we find when we have these discussions, they'll start making a case for themselves about why they can't do things.
Right.
And so what I would suggest if you're listening to this is get on your own team, man, or woman. I mean, really, get on your own team. Start to create an argument for yourself about why you can, and then begin to shift your life according to why you can. And you'll be amazed at how much energy it frees up. And I'll tell you, it's great to have yourself on your own team.
That's great advice.
So when you get to the question of, you know, are you willing to make changes, which answer is the correct answer? Of course you have to make changes. You've had to make changes throughout your life. Your whole life you've been changing.
No question. And if we're going to talk about longevity, why people change becomes a really important issue. And we talk about this. It's right in the beginning of the book when we talk about the difference between quality of life motivation versus crisis motivation.
I thought that was fabulous. Can we talk a little bit about that? What's
sure.
the difference between those?
Well, the difference would be crisis. We live in a crisis-motivated society. I mean, you know, we when there's no money in the bank account, we think it's important to start saving, get out of debt, and go back to work. You know, when we go into our closet and clothes don't fit us, we say, well, maybe it's a good idea to eat healthy and start exercising again. You know, when we have a heart attack, it's a good idea. You know, some of us think, well, this is the I need to change my life a little bit. And so I think when we realize that that's the way that we are thinking, we are crisis-motivated individuals. Mm-hmm. Crisis motivation is not the recipe for a quality of life as you age. When you study people that are living 100 with quality lives versus people that are living to 70, 80, and 90, but they're rotting away at 70, 80, and 90, one of the core differences is in the philosophy of change and motivation. And it's the difference between crisis motivation and quality of life motivation. Quality of life motivation would be eating healthy because you want to live a healthy life. It's exercising because it's good for you and you feel good and you have energy because you do it and you like feeling stronger. And being nice to your spouse is a good idea, not just because you want something from him or her, but because you want a great relationship. And that's the difference, really, between crisis motivation and quality of life motivation. And the question becomes is, what's going to be your motivation to make the changes that really you probably on some level know that you need to make?
Do people ask you, well, you know, that's all, I agree with everything you've said, but aside from the physical, when I get to be 100 years old, let's say that I can get around okay, and, you know, and I even let's say I could drive a car, you know, and only run over 3 people a day. So, people are going to see through me. I'm not going to be important to anybody. You know, it's not, I'm not going to have value because people see through, people my age, they just see through. I'm just in the way. How am I going to deal with that?
You know, this is such a great issue and I appreciate you bringing it up because can I tell everybody what got me to write this book?
Please, yeah.
Okay. Cause I think what you're saying, if I don't frame it about the motivation here, I think it will lose some of these brilliant questions and I won't be able to answer them as effectively as I need to.
Okay.
I had a guy come into my office, 98 years old, who came into my office as a patient, crippled, broke, and alone. And it broke my heart. Mm. Okay, this guy, his name was Max. He was the cutest guy you've ever seen. He was one of those invisible older people that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, because he's at 98 years old. This guy, he couldn't move. He was in excruciating pain. You don't want, if you're listening on the line here and you have aging parents and grandparents, these people, you don't want them to go out by themselves, right? It's like, well, who's going to take Uncle Bob or Grandpa or Grandma to the doctor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this guy came in alone all the time. He was crippled, and he had no money. He would reach his fingers into his pocket to pay with crinkled up dollar bills. After a while, we tried to adopt him and just give him the care because we knew he didn't have any money, but he insisted on paying every visit. And so we took care of him for 3 months, and he actually really improved. We were excited about it. 6 months later, he's walking all over town. He's doing fantastic at 98 years old. And a year goes by. He's now 99 years old, and he disappears one day, and we don't know where he is. Okay? We try to call him. Nobody answers. There's no phone, right?
Wait a second, Eric.
Yeah.
Hold on. This is the perfect time to take a break.
Okay.
Max has disappeared. He's 99, right, and nobody knows where he is. Everybody hang on. We'll be back with Dr. Plaska in just a minute.
Listen to Beauty Now, the intersection of cosmetic surgery, longevity, and biomedical innovation for confident decisions in preventative aging on personallifemedia.com.
Welcome back to The Third Age. I'm here with the man from Hollywood, David Devin.
I want to hear the story.
Okay. We'll be right there. And Marissa Gobasi? Slobasi?
Skobasi. There you go.
And Dr. Eric Plaska, who's written a best-selling book, The 100-Year Lifestyle. And Dr. Plaska was right in the middle of a story, a 98-year-old man comes in suffering all the pains, you know, can barely walk. They get him doing well after about 3 months, and now at 99 they can't find him. So we'll let you pick the story up from there.
Okay, great. So Max disappears, mm-hmm. and we call him, no answer. We send him a letter, no response. So here he is. Max is now 99 years old, and we can't find him. So what do you think we're thinking?
That he wandered off? Did he have any signs of Alzheimer's?
No. We're thinking that he passed, right? 99, yeah. Can't reach him. Nobody's yeah. home. Okay, so now another year goes by. Max is now 100 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And out of the blue one day, Max, no appointment, Max literally comes walking through the front door of the office.
Uh-huh.
I heard my assistant, now I'm in the back adjusting people, uh-huh. I hear my assistant scream his name, Max, right? And uh-huh. she runs around, because I'm telling you, we adopted this guy. We missed him.
Right.
Right? So she runs around, gives him a big hug. I hear his name. I finish adjusting the person that I'm with. I run around to the front. I call out his name, Max, and I give him a really big hug. Well, Max, I look at him in the eye, and his eyes were hollow, and he literally looked like a man who was ready to go. And he grabbed my hand, and he looked up at me, and I will never forget this. And he said to me, like he had said after all of his visits, he said to me, thank you, Dr. Plaska, thank you, and died right in my reception room.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
You hugged him too hard?
Well, I got to tell you, it was, I've hugged a lot of people, never too hard.
I'm just kidding.
But you know what? It was amazing because he was gone by the time he leaned over.
Sure.
I mean, literally, rigor mortis had already set in. And you know, obviously, we tried to revive him, but, it was to no avail. And the ambulance came, took him away, never to be heard from again. But I just couldn't get that out of my head. And that's when I started asking people the question, if you knew you'd live to be 100, how would you change your life
mm-hmm.
today?
Mm-hmm.
Because Max was blindsided by his age. When Max was born, the same with all the 100-year-old people today,
uh-huh.
and here's a great trivia question. Do you know how old, when Max was born 100 years ago, do you know what his life expectancy was?
47 years.
Yeah, it was right around 50 years. So when you think about, here's a guy, and this whole generation, which is one of the fastest-growing segments of our population today, here's a guy and a generation that literally has outlived their life expectancy by 50 years. That is mind-boggling. And so we're getting the advance notice that our parents and grandparents never received. And so, like with your third age, with what you say, third age is the rest of your life, you're not just talking about 10 or 20 more years.
That's for sure.
You're talking about decades and decades of opportunity.
Absolutely.
Oh,
you know, the saddest thing about that I think about the story with Max is that it took him till 98 to get himself straightened out physically enough so he could enjoy his experience.
No question. And what
he had
we
to
learn,
change his lifestyle
but
enough.
But that's also the most optimistic because at 98 it was never too late.
It's never too late to change. But it's just a shame to wait and be in pain and be crippled for all those years?
Well, what we've learned in the research for the 100-year lifestyle is that the people that are living quality of life, and listen, there are people water skiing at 100 years old, traveling the world at 100 years old. This is not a ticket to a deteriorating future. I mean, what I think the challenge is, and this goes back to one of the things that you said earlier and why I wanted to tell this story, is that we have a very skewed view of aging today, because we see people in their 80s and 90s and 100 years old and say, you know what, boy, I hope I can move better than them, and I don't want to be like that. But what we must understand in our generation here is that this is a generation that was totally blindsided by their longevity. They had no clue they were going to live this long. They figured, hey, I'll live to 60 years, maybe I'll get a couple of extra ones, I'll retire for 2 or 3 years, and then I'll die. But they never died. They lived for decades and decades and decades with no vision for their extended life. They didn't know how to take care of themselves to ensure quality health and quality life. And so, you know, their motto was, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? But they defined broke as serious or crippling disease or pain.
I'll tell you one thing I think that needs to be said here is that you, no matter how young you are, you need to be interested in self-growth. You need to be interested in making yourself better and learning about yourself and learning about others and learning about love and in learning about your spiritual aspect. Because, you know, that's the kind of thing that will keep you young and vital and passionate forever. But, you know, it's tough. I think it's a little tougher to pick it up at 80 or 90. I think it's important to start as early as you can in terms of trying to find out who the best you is and how to be it.
No question. And you know, it's funny because Discover Magazine did a research article, and they said that a child born today has the ability to live 150 healthy years.
Really?
Yeah. And so when you think about that, you say, come on now, Plasker, Discover, you're getting out of control here. You know, because that would mean 50 years more than 100.
I know.
Well, 100 is 50 years more than 50 was. So, I mean, you know, the reality of it is, and I think what you're saying is so true, the question is going to become is, are you going to choose to be interested in these things because you're forced to because of a crisis, or are you going to choose because you want quality of life every day as you age? Because at some point, you're going to be forced into the change.
Well, that's a very good point. I just want to add one point to it, if I could, which is also it has to do with values. What do you value in life? Are material objects all you value? Do you value something more than that? How are we also going to find a way to change the way in which society values people as they age? Because it's vital that we find a way to create things so we can esteem people as they age. And a lot of people end up feeling useless and pushed to the side as they get older. And that really takes its toll.
Well, what we're doing in our foundation is our motto, so to speak, is changing the myths of aging. And that's what we're up to, changing the myths of aging, because all those old beliefs don't go anymore, right, Eric?
It's so true. And now that we know, our generation, it's not like it's a mystery that needs to be solved anymore. We know what you need to do. I mean, we know the qualities of living that will ensure an active, healthy quality of life for 100 years, 80, 90, 100 plus years and beyond. And, you know, you talked about the healthcare choices that Max made, that he waited. Health-wise, we know that there's a healthcare hierarchy that we've discovered with the 100-year lifestyle that's very important, that you see people that are living active, healthy lives. They follow these rules.
Okay,
these
now
principles.
Wait. We're going to take a break. Let's hear the principles to follow when we come back. We'll
okay,
be right
great.
Back with the third age.
Listen to Living Dialogues, thought leaders in transforming ourselves and our global community, with Duncan Campbell, visionary conversationalist, bringing you the best in new paradigm thinking on personallifemedia.com.
Welcome back to the third age. I'm one of your co-hosts, Dr. Peter Brill, the doctor. I'm here with a man from Hollywood, David Devin, and Marissa Scobasi.
Correct. Good job.
I'll get it. It's when you put two continents together. It's
tricky.
Anyway, we have Dr. Eric Plasker on with us, who's written a wonderful book. the 100-year lifestyle. How did they get it, Eric?
Well, it's available in every major bookstore. Mm-hmm. From what I understand, it is sold out in a lot of places. So if you go into a store and you don't see it, just go ask for it, and they'll order it for you. It's also available on Amazon, or you can get it at our website, www.100yearlifestyle.com.
And that 100 is 100.
Correct.
And your name is spelled Plasker, Dr. Eric Plasker, the 100-year lifestyle.
Great, thank you.
Okay, where were we?
Well, one place where we were was I wanted to talk about, you have kind of what I would say would be five stages. You may not see them as stages in the self-development process towards aging. You may just think of them as five different ways of going about it, as you put out in your book. But from a destructive lifestyle on up, you understand what I'm talking about?
Yes, the different energy patterns, being able to focus your energy.
Could you take us through that, the destructive and then security-oriented, I forget what you call it.
Yes, and we call them dominant energy patterns,
okay,
is what you're talking about here.
Right.
And what we find is because people say to me all the time, just like you guys probably hear as well, you know what, Dr. Plasker, listen, I mean, I would make some of these changes in my life, and I would do the things that you're telling me, but you know what, I'm exhausted, man. I mean, how am I going to do this if I'm tired all the time or if I don't feel well? Well, here's the good news. It's not your age that's exhausting you. It's how you choose to use your energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we found that there are different energy patterns that people get in habits of that become like their your patterns could define your life. So, for example, there are five dominant energy patterns. One is a destructive pattern. I'll list them all, and then we could talk about a couple of them.
There's just a line or two.
But there are destructive patterns. These are people that are overeating, overdrinking, overworking, overdoing something. There are survival patterns. So if you're in a survival pattern, you just make it at the end of the month, barely every mm-hmm. month, in whatever it is that you're doing, or you just make the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have complacency patterns where you're kind of bored and nothing really exciting going on. Then your comfort patterns where maybe you've made it but you're getting bored and a little fat around the middle. And then you have your human potential pattern, whereas where you actually establish and set up a routine for yourself that creates an extraordinary life for you regardless of your age.
Wow, did you come up with all this, or is this all from some research, or where'd you get all this?
Well, I've been coaching doctors and coaching people for over a decade now,
mm-hmm.
and I've seen people, no matter what their age, I've seen people be able to radically change their lives. I've seen people who are sick heal themselves and get well, and I've seen people who are overweight. I've seen them lose 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 pounds. I've seen people grow their businesses and their practices by 2, 3, 4, and 5 times just by understanding a lot of these principles. And once we started to see what was working and after applying them in my own life, I was able to package them in a way that anybody could simply and easily use these principles to improve the quality of their lives.
That's true. Can you move somebody from a destructive energy pattern straight to a human potential energy pattern, or do they have to go slowly through other patterns?
It's a great question, and no, I can't do it, but they can do it for themselves.
Ah.
Okay, so what happens is somebody's got to want to make the changes. You see, what happens is, and I went through this even with myself because I was in a destructive eating pattern. I had ignored my own principles for a while and gotten to be about 40 pounds overweight, got to my son's 13th year birthday, went and saw a video of myself jumping off of the top of a houseboat, and I said, "Who's that whale in a bathing suit?" And it was me. And I decided that, you know what, bam. And I actually did, and I went from a destructive pattern to a human potential pattern, and now I'm in the best shape of my life, I believe, and here it is 5 years later and have never looked back. And I think, and we've seen a lot of people do that. So, yes, I do believe, and I've seen it happen over and over again, that regardless of your pattern, you should choose that human potential pattern and make that pattern your new lifestyle rather than just incrementally getting there. But what's interesting is to get there, you have to, the goals you have the big vision of where you want to be and the habits that you create that are human potential oriented. But to get there, obviously, it changes every day through the choices that you make, and that's the incremental piece of it, if that makes sense.
Okay, let me ask you this question then. Have you ever seen anyone go from a human potential energy pattern to a destructive
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
And how does that happen?
Well, I think that it happens, you know, sometimes life catches up to people. Maybe they're out of balance. I think being out of balance, you know, here's where you see it. Some people are human potential pattern at work, destructive pattern in relationships. Some people might be, you know, human potential pattern in relationships, destructive patterns at work. And so what you have to look at is look at all the different phases of your life and begin to choose for yourself consciously how you want to make the changes that support the quality of life along the way and the balance that would support you and sustain you over a lifetime.
That's very good. That's very good. Because sometimes it's easier for people to take it one bite at a time than look at their whole life and, you know, and not be able to figure out what they are.
Well, you know, I think the good news is that here we are when we get to the third age. We've got a lot of experience under our belt. I mean, here's what I love about it. I mean, if you're 40 years old and you're listening to this, you have 60 more years to get to 100. If you're 50 years old right now, you have 50 more years. That's twice your current lifespan. I mean, think about it. If you're 50 now, think about what you were learning 50 years ago. You were learning how to suckle milk. And so here,
I don't remember learning that. I can't.
Yeah.
I just did that last night.
And so, you know, here we have a great opportunity to start fresh with 40, 50, 60 years under our belt.
Absolutely.
With the best years of our life ahead of us.
Okay, you know something? You can't give any better advice than that. And if you want to get the full advice out there, this is for our listeners, get The 100-Year Lifestyle by Dr. Eric Plasker, which you got to read because it's going to move you all the way up in your energy pattern. Dr. Plasker, we want to thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you all so much. You guys are doing a great job, and I really appreciate being able to be here with you.
Well, let's hook up our websites and get some more energy flowing.
Very good.
Okay.
Okay, thanks a lot. We'll be right back.
Listen to Living Green, Effortless Ecology for Everyday People, a weekly online audio program featuring champions of sustainable living at personallifemedia.com.
Welcome back to the Third Age. Yeah, we want to just thank our sponsors. That was quite an interview, huh? You going to try to live to be 100, David?
I don't know about that. I don't know if I want to live to be 100. I mean, I might want to just live to be 90. Is there something wrong? Am I like a depressive or something?
Yeah,
if I only want to be 90?
Yeah, you're,
is there something wrong with me if I only want to live to be 90?
Well, 90 is probably not all right, but 89 is just that we're going to have to really.
I mean, you're looking at me. If you say, you know, if somebody doesn't say, I want to live to be as old as I possibly can, 110 even. Is there something wrong with that?
I don't know. We have to ask.
Ask Jerry.
No, I'm just thinking about from an environmental standpoint. Think of all the resources we're using if we're still around. You know, at least you know when you're not around.
Oh, I don't want to think.
You can become
God.
A resource back into the. No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
No.
Environmental perspective.
You have every right to be alive. One of the great, right, and just because you're consuming resources, you know, that's the world's problem.
Well, that's a good point, though.
What's that?
No, it's not, David. It's not.
Yes, it is a good point. You know, Kurt
Vonnegut. You
should
feel guilty. You should feel guilty for consuming resources.
Kurt Vonnegut wrote this fabulous short story called "Welcome to the Monkey House."
Yeah.
Remember that one,
yeah.
Where the people go in and they it's time, and they go in and they say goodbye, and that's it. You know, everybody agreed. That society agrees that that's the good thing to
so
do.
So, what age would you agree to do?
Well, now that's a good question. Because when Vonnegut wrote the book, I think 65 was old. And I don't think that I'm old yet. Do you?
What do you think? Do you think he's old?
Do you think I'm old?
No. You don't act like you're old, so that's what matters, I think.
Okay. See? How about that?
Jaron? She knows what to say.
What do you think?
Oh, you guys are the youngest people I know, which I love. I think that's absolutely fantastic. It's fun to come in here and hang out with you, and everything you discuss is very easy to relate to. no matter what age or part of life you're in. So I think that's a good sign. So you know what? I think people need to just not – I mean, I think you need to focus on good health, good exercise, taking care of yourself, you know, doing what you want to do with your life, and don't worry about how long you're going to be around. Don't worry about the goal.
And my favorite thing, my favorite step of our seven steps, having fun.
Yeah, that's true.
So if you want to have some more fun, come and join us at the Third Age – at the Third Age Foundation because we have – that's what we do. We have fun. You heard the show today. We learn and we have fun together. And if you want to join one of our groups, we have a group that meets almost every night of the week.
And a couple during the day.
And they're
how do they find out about the groups? How do they get into them?
Well, they go to our website. They can, which is www.thirdagefoundation.com, spelled out, thirdagefoundation.com, or call 969-9794. 969-9794. You can find out about a group. You can find out about the work that we do. If you want to volunteer and lick stamps for us, we're a nonprofit, so we're looking for help.
Or if you want to get trained, we're going to be certifying some people around the country, and you could do that. But what's really important is that you start to embrace the realization that the myths of aging just are not true, that the your quality of your life can get better and better, and that we can build a society where people are esteemed as they age and not demeaned. So those are very, very important principles that our foundation stands for.
And you can work with us also to change the myths of aging. You know, we're working with media. We're working with corporations. We're trying to get to a place where people can accept as a fact, instead of just looking at you like you're crazy, that somebody who's 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 is valuable.
Yep.
You know, people start to think that for some reason, you know, when they get to be older, all of a sudden they're not important anymore. They're not valuable. They don't, you know, they sort of get
isolated.
Well,
society gives that message out. Youth and attractiveness and potential, those are all things the society values. And we have to do some changing of the way, what we value.
Yeah.
We have to learn to value integrity and spirituality and people who desire to give and that we have to have new values. We have to really come to value something much deeper.
What is your professor? You take a course in this, right,
yeah,
at UCSB?
Communication.
Yeah, and what does your professor say about the way the media treats young people and old people?
Media is very negative. The media is very negative against older people. They treat them more as a joke. It's more seen as funny, like old people are taken seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought up a lot about how all the health products are usually anti-aging do for this and that, and you think that you need all these different kinds of products to not look old, when in reality it doesn't really matter. You should accept who you are as yourself, because it's all about your mentality. And that's basically what he tried to stress. And
that's a great point.
Yeah,
I think we should have products in the Third Age Foundation that are pro-aging,
yeah,
as opposed to anti-aging.
Pro-aging
will help you age faster.
That'll be very popular.
Okay.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie. This is the Third Age. This is David Debbin with Peter Brill on the Third Age.
I want to thank Jaron Pilz.
Well, Jaron Pilz, he's getting paid. Why should you thank him?
Marissa, we'd like to thank her. Les Carroll, signing off.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.